999 candles lit the iron shrine. Anna curved a crescent moon across her chest, in honor of the goddess she didn't believe in, to disguise tucking 3 coppers from the offering tray into her burgundy coat. Dai gave her a long look as he sat in the pew beside her.
What? It's called an investment, she told her best friend. Don't give me that look.
Dai, short for the serial number, D09, inscribed at the nape of his neck, gave a human-looking shrug. His voice sounded like garbled static from a damaged voice box.
I am not sure what you are referring to.
The judgy one you're giving me right now?
I am incapable of giving looks.
Says the metal giving me a look.
She shifted uncomfortably and then sighed.
Fine. I'll go put the money back when we leave.
Do not be chivalrous on my account, he said in his monotonous, staticky voice.
If he had emotions, she thought he would have said it dryly, like a joke.
As if he could tell one, she thought, amused.
He sat forward, elbows on his knees. His hood was pulled low to disguise the slats and plates that made up his face, without a nose or ears or eyebrows. He was more dented than other metals, having fallen through mineshafts on Circe's and been shot at by mercenaries on Iliad. She felt bad for a particular ding on his forehead, but she had apologized 1,000 times for accidentally running him over with a sky sailor. He still refused to let her drive. An abbess passed down the almost empty aisle. Anna could hear her humming a sad, lonely hymn from the Cantos of Light as she swung a thurible, carrying with it the heavy scent of moon lilies. At the head of the shrine stood the statue of the moon goddess, 7 men high, her arms outstretched as she looked to some distant point in the domed ceiling where murals of the moon goddess's story, the Kingdom of Shadows and the Girl of Light, were painted. The entire space station of Nevea felt empty in the shrine, as if the world only existed between the alabaster pillars and stained glass trappings, so quiet she could hear the electric hum of Dai's wires and functions, as soft and soothing as a song. She figured most of the kingdom's citizens were at home or at the pub, glued to their holopads and news feeds. Today, the Grand Duchess would choose her heir, and the 30th Emperor of the Iron Kingdom. So naturally, with everyone distracted, it was a good day for a heist. As the abbesses in their shimmery silver robes roamed the aisles, 2 older women scooted into the pews a few rows up.
May the stars keep us steady, and the iron keep us safe, they murmured, as they drew crescent shapes across their chests and sat.
One of them had a mechanical hand, a sign that she had been infected with the plague 20 years ago. The woman's friend glanced back to Anna and gave a start.
Goddess save me, she said in a hushed whisper to her friend. I think a metal is behind us. Do you think it's hived? I hope it's hived.
The hive was the Iron Kingdom's way of dealing with misbehaving or rogue metals. Instead of imprisonment, the kingdom stripped metals of their free will and assimilated them. Then, with them obedient and unthinking, the kingdom used them as guard dogs, messier